with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys Show, and that was a Grilling Guys rap. We were just talking about that. Is Barbecue Bob might be time to write a new rap, man. That one's been with us. I love it. It's completely original by Barbecue Bob, so it's been our thing, but maybe we need to update a little
I'm
bit.
I'm sick
so.
Of it.
Yeah, so we'll figure it out.
I can't stand it. Yeah. Let us know if you want a new one or you like that
right,
one.
Yeah, hit me on Facebook because, as you heard in the first segment, Bob is no longer there.
I ain't going to know.
No, I'll let him know that that some of you would like us to rewrite the rap or do something different.
You
but
know,
anyway.
It wasn't only because I think Zuckerberg's creepy. It was because also I think it's a waste of time.
Well,
there's millions of ads coming at you, and then you've got all these people posting pictures. A mutual friend of ours sent his vacation pictures on there.
Right.
And there's no beautiful scenery. It's just his face with something in the background. You don't see. I want to see some nice.
Right.
I love the panoramics and, my cousin, she puts her paintings on and stuff. I love stuff like that. I don't need to see your face. No more selfies.
Or your cat or what you ate for dinner. Right. Yeah. I'm all of that.
Anyway, unless your cat's on the grill. That's a good picture.
Hey, man, that almost cost us a lawsuit before when you told that story. So back off, brother. Back off. Let's put something edible on the grill, a beef brisket. We get questions on this probably more than any other cut of meat on how to do this right. So walk us through it, Bob, because I can't touch your brisket.
That's very kind of you, but we're always more critical of ourselves.
Right.
You know, your brisket's probably fine.
Yeah. Well, it's fine, but it's not
okay,
fine
so,
like yours.
So we cover this quite a bit, but I still run into tons of people who say, I just can't get my brisket down.
Right.
And so we'll try it one more time, brisket 101. To start with, it absolutely matters where you get your brisket.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And I'm not saying you can't get a good one at a big box store. I'm saying it's iffy. So if you have a good butcher and he has a selection of brisket, go to him. Who cares if you pay a buck more a pound?
Right.
It's only going to be 8 to 12 pounds. So is 8 or 12 bucks the difference in you being a master or a you-know-what?
Right.
No, I'm not going to let 12 bucks stop me.
Well, and that's the first tip, is like if you want to know how to make a good brisket, start with a good product.
Yeah, so you buy yourself a nice brisket, and then you're going to want to make sure you have the proper, a nice red wine, because this is a slow process, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm going to have, a glass of Fen Valley Cab Sauv, okay? And I'm going to have all my knives out, nice and sharp, a giant butcher board, because these monsters are big.
Right. You're looking at a 3-foot-long piece of meat.
And then I'm going to have a garbage can open and ready, because once I start tearing into that thing, I don't want to be pulling on the drawer that pulls the garbage out.
Right.
I want to have that baby pulled open.
I've seen Zeus help you with that, too.
Well, I was just going to say, and I also have my trusty steed, the wonder dog Zeus, knows when I'm trimming brisket. And I generally do it outside on a table under my canopy thing.
Right.
But if I'm doing it wherever I'm at, he knows what I'm doing, and he sits by just happily waiting. And what I do is I throw him the solid beef trimmings. I don't send him much fat,
right?
Because he's 9 years to 11 years old. He doesn't need it. Neither do I.
But that dog can eat some brisket.
And raw beef is very good for your dog. If you're not giving him raw beef a couple times a week, talk to your vet. He'll probably tell you to do that.
Right.
So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go around the edge of that thing where it's been cryovac'd, and that heat shrink process kind of cooks the edges. So I want to get rid of all that because it looks nasty.
You'll see it. It's very evident where it's been singed.
Yes, and Zeus will tell you that is a beautiful piece of meat. So I'm going to trim that off, and then I'm going to start trimming away at fat. And if it's a good brisket, you can trim about as much fat as you want to. As a matter of fact, I'd say the more fat you trim, the better, because if it's a good brisket, it's so nicely marbled, you don't need that extra fat cap on the bottom. That's not going to help you. So let's get as much fat out of there as you can, and you're going to find little pockets that go in between the layers of the flat and the point, and that you're going to have like a nice boning knife is what I use to get that out, a sharp-tipped, fine-tipped, long blade that'll get in there and just let you sort of saw away at those pockets and then start ripping it out and chuck that. Also, little point, you can, if you pull those beautiful pieces of fat out, you can throw them in a bag and freeze them, because the chickadees and sparrows will love them next winter.
Sure.
And so yep, I do save those. Yeah. I hate throwing them away.
So Bob, you mentioned between the point and the flat. Give us a little brisket anatomy before we go much further.
Well, the flat is, if you've ever had corned beef brisket, easy that, for you
yeah.
to say,
yeah.
That's a flat. They use the flat, and it's the boring piece of a brisket. And then on top of it's a little piece of heaven that looks like, if you look at a brisket like a 747, first class is up with by the cockpit and that bubble that sticks up there. Well, the brisket's first class.
Yeah.
Okay, there's your airplane analogy.
Okay. Yeah, tie that in with your meat.
And it is a first-class piece. The deckle or the point is just
a thicker piece.
My favorite part, because it's very heavily embedded with fat. It's not necessarily marble. It's like a combination of fat and collagen and connective tissue that it's kind of gross looking, but when you cook it, it's fantastic looking. Now, what you can also have some fun with it when the product's done, and we'll talk about things to do with deckle later. But so carve all that up, and now when you look at the thing, you got your 747 out on the table. You'll notice the long flat end is the tail of the aircraft, and you'll see the grain of the meat is going to go towards one side.
You're getting a crosswind to follow the analogy.
It is, yes. It's going to be on the starboard side,
right.
typically. And so follow that grain down, and it's kind of squared off at the end. I'm going to ask you to put a dog a tail or a
dog
45,
ear.
A dog ear, thank you, tail on the beer.
Planes, dogs, we're really talking about 40, brisket.
45 that thing, cut it across at a 45-degree angle, and then angle your blade at a 45 so that you're doing a double bias. And why I want you to do that is because when you season this thing up, you're going to hide the look of that grain. When it comes out of the smoker, you might not be able to see the grain as carefully.
And the reason is you always want to cut this across the grain. So
always.
By putting that dog ear there, your knife blade has identified where across the grain is.
Yeah, and right? then that little triangle is a nice little piece to pull off the smoker a little early, because yeah. you're going to rub that up, smoke it, and then you can use that for burnt ends.
So rub it up. What are you putting on there for seasoning?
You know, I'm pretty lazy anymore. I used to think you had to do everything from scratch, but there's so many fantastic barbecue people in this country that have come up with time-tested recipes, and they sell it so cheaply. I have a hard time making rub for a brisket.
Right.
So I'm going to probably get Billy Bones beef rub and put it on there, or his championship rub and put it on there, and everyone will love it.
Liberally or lightly?
Somewhere in between.
Okay. You're not going to cover it like you would a pork shoulder.
No, I'm not gonna put an obnoxious amount on like I would with a butt.
Right.
It's just not as thick. And right. you don't want to, you know, it's got that nice chuck flavor. You don't want to totally ruin the flavor. Matter of fact, sometimes I literally put sea salt and coarse black pepper.
Right.
And a nice way to do that is to go to like Gordon's Foods and get those big canisters of, they call it restaurant grade pepper. And it's a coarse ground black right. pepper. You throw a bunch of that and a bunch of sea salt on the brisket, and I'm telling you, you're going to have a beautiful thing going there.
So temperature and time on the smoker.
I think I typically smoke at 275.
Okay, and what do I want to get the internal temperature
to? I like that temperature because I'm getting more smoke. And the first couple of hours, especially when it's absorbing smoke, I want to smoke it up as much as possible. I'm going to bring it up to about 150, and then I'm going to pull it off and wrap it.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that in the next segment.
All right. Coming up next, we'll finish the brisket and go for the ribs. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Genie in a bottle of Jim Beam, and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If
if you're going.